The storm isn't coming. The storm is here. The storm is definitely here. Welcome everybody to our podcast. I just wanted to mention that we are available on three platforms. Our podcast platform, Anchor FM, under the name Storm is Here, and our two video platforms, one being YouTube and the other being Rumble, which is the newest of the platforms that we have joined. And of course, they're under the same name, Storm is Here. Now, human civilization has been going, you know, in decline, and there's many reasons for it, and the main reason is because of our corrupt political system and, of course, our economic system of capitalism. Now, some would say that the starting point, you know, could have been World War One or Two, the assassination of JFK. For me, in my opinion, I believe that the start of human civilization decline was back in 2001 when the Twin Towers collapsed and were attacked by terrorists. Now, of course, how does this relate to what I'm talking about? Well, it does relate. It does relate. And this is just another example of human civilization just going down the gutter. Now, we know that in the state of California, they have been suffering a homelessness crisis probably in the last two decades, maybe even more. They're very synonymous, the state of California, for having this issue. And I wanted to focus mainly on the city of San Francisco and some of the recent events coming out of there. I'm going to read a couple of articles, try to explain this whole mess the best way that I can. Now, this is out of BPR, Business and Politics, and the headline reads, Homeless crisis so bad in San Fran area that families are being urged to take in people from the street. Now, this is how bad it's getting, okay? And again, I think the fact that people, regular folk that do have money, that do have a roof over their head, are showing generosity and charity by taking these people in to try to rehab them and keep them safe, more importantly. All right, let me read on here. As San Francisco makes the news for its ever-worsening problems, some locals are taking steps through charities and placement agencies to shelter the homeless within their own residency. The city has now seized on this idea with its own variant. And of course, you know, the politicians are always the last to show up when it comes to the community. You know, the only people that care about the community are the people that live in the community. Okay, the politicians are just there for show and tell, basically. For lack of a better word, as of all, San Francisco's problems seem to be a nonstop increase, and we'll talk about more of those problems that they're suffering right now. It's no surprise that homelessness has spiked as well. The number of homeless is currently believed to be 8,000, which is a jump up from the 5,600 estimated homeless 10 years ago. The city's solution has been to ask local residents to take the homeless into their spare rooms with little to no compensation as an act of charity, according to a news agency. And again, this is a great idea. Okay, it's, you know, the people that are taking the homeless in are relatively, you know, somewhat wealthy, I believe, maybe middle class to upper. And, you know, they're not happy with what is happening around the neighborhood. Some people doing it for the right reasons, I suppose, and others are doing it for the wrong reasons. That's always the case. But the fact that they're taking them in is actually some proof that maybe there is some empathy on behalf of the people of San Francisco. So this is really a good sign. Maybe what they're seeing is a sign that maybe perhaps it could happen to them. So they're trying their best to try to prevent this. Okay, so let me read on here. Now, there's this excellent quote that I got out of this news article. I got to read it for you. But before I read that, let me just read this little quote here, or this little paragraph of the article. While the Daily Mail, which is the news agency that's covering the story, asks about the potential dangers of taking homeless people into private residency, The mayor stated that people understood the risks and were more interested in trying to help out. They are more concerned with the homeless camps, and people want to see solutions and want to be part of the solution. So this is great. This is what a community does. They take the downtrodden, they bring them in, they try to keep them safe. Now, again, this just proves how bad the homeless situation is in San Francisco, that they're willing to bring these people in even though they don't even know who they are. Okay, because some of these people might be disturbed. Maybe they're maybe they're mentally unstable. Who knows? But it's so bad there that they're willing to take that risk. Okay. All right. Okay, let's move on to the next article. I'll get to that quote in a second here. Now, this is out of the city and county of San Francisco, and it's a homeless population bar graph. And basically, they got about, they got bar graphs starting from 2005 all the way to 2019. Now, the beginning of 2005, or the year of 2005, there, and again, you know, these are, take these with a grain of salt. It could be more, it could be less. You know, again, you know, when governments take stats, it's never accurate, and there's always proof of that, okay, throughout history. But according to their stats, there were about 5,404 homeless people in 2005. Of course, that increased all the way up to 2019, where they had 8,035 homeless people. Okay, and of course, it's a mixture of sheltered and unsheltered. Okay, so of course, we talk about the decline of human civilization. We talk about the starting points. Even though 2008 wasn't a starting point, it definitely accelerated the homelessness population. You know, it accelerated the problem. It really did. So that could be one of the reasons why it's ballooned from 2005 to 2019. And of course, they don't have any stats for 2020, 2021, and 2022. I mean, mind you, 2022 is so early, but they don't have those stats for those 2 years for obvious reasons, because of, you know, obviously the global pandemic. And because if they did take the stats, I can assure you that it would probably be way more. And in fact, it would have might have even doubled. Okay, because what they're seeing in San Francisco, they haven't seen anything quite like this. It's really, really bad. And actually, some people are comparing it to cities like, I believe it was Mexico City. They were comparing it to, and also places in South America. So the situation there has gone really, really bad. And again, this is a failure of our economic and political system. Okay, now, we talk about solutions. You know, we talk about how politicians have no solutions, and we talk about how this system of capitalism, and again, you can call it whatever you want, crony capitalism. The fact of the matter is, it's a system that is built on profit and profit only. That is the bottom line. Okay, that is the bottom line that is basically echoed in every boardroom meeting across the world. Okay, now, This is a site, Celebrity Net Worth, and basically they assess the net worth of billionaires for that year and what they made. So I'm just gonna read a few of them. I'm not gonna read all 10 of them. I'm just gonna read some of the famous names, some of the names that you probably recognize. Okay, here's number 10. Warren Buffett. He is worth this is according to 2021 stats. So at that time, he was worth $107 billion. And during 2021, he gained an additional $20 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, who is worth $125 billion, made $22 billion during that same year. Larry Ellis, I'm not sure who that is. I really don't care, to be quite honest with you. That's not really important. But his net worth was 110 of that year, and he gained 30. So as the numbers go higher, obviously, the more money they made. Now let's go to Larry Page. I'm not sure who he is. Again, it doesn't really matter. $130 billion he made that year. He was worth, and he made an additional $47 million. Bernard Arnault. Sorry if I butchered that name, but his net worth was $170 billion, and he made $60. And everybody knows this guy, Elon Musk. His net worth, $280 billion, and his gain in 2021 was $125 billion. Okay? This happened during the global pandemic, when businesses were shut down, the economy was shut down, primarily for the majority of us, but obviously the corporations just, you know, ran away like bandits. But again, you know, here is a bunch of billionaires with a lot of money that they know what to do with. And again, if we had a fair system where these guys who have workers that have made them who they are and government subsidies that have made them who they are, well, they could have taken some of those profits, you know, and they could have put it back into their local economies. You know, they could have helped out with the homelessness crisis in San Francisco. They could have eradicated poverty if they wanted to, but they don't. They choose not to based on the principles of capitalism. So principles of capitalism are basically whatever you make are yours to keep. So, I mean, even the taxation is such a joke, too. I mean, there are two people on here that, for some reason, they're not on here, but they made like bandits during this global pandemic. And one was Bill Gates, a very controversial figure. And the other is another multi-billionaire who's probably the richest guy in the world, as far as I'm concerned, and that's Jeff Bezos with Amazon. Again, these are guys, especially Jeff Bezos, who brings his Amazon warehouses to your town, and he gets your city to pay. So instead of him paying his fair share of taxes because he's making money there, well, they do the opposite. They don't pay taxes. What happens is they basically get paid by the government because there is a bid. There is a competition. I mean, this is how sick the system has gotten. It's really, really bad. Instead of a city like New York who says, okay, you know what? We don't want Amazon here. We are going to encourage small business to replace Amazon. Okay, we're going to encourage them to build here, to build warehouses here, and to hire locally, so this way the local economy thrives. But no, instead what they do is they basically try to lure these Jeff Bezos and offer them these tantalizing packages benefits for Jeff Bezos to set up shop there. It's absolutely disgusting. But again, I just wanted to show you these numbers of during the pandemic. While everybody else was suffering and nobody could work and everybody was losing money, and you know, these guys were making billions of dollars and they didn't even bother to put back into the economy. So I read the first article and how San Francisco was basically going through a lot of problems. Homelessness was one. And again, when you have a crappy political system that doesn't represent people, only represents the donors and the lobbyists, and you have an economic system that's not built on making the economy better, it's basically about raping and pillaging. Well, then when you take away from many and they basically have nothing and they got nothing to lose, well, this is the result. This is out of the New York Post. How looting turned the most upscale part of San Francisco into a ghost town. Now, this is the hoity-toity area of San Francisco. They got, you know, the famous capitalist stores like Omega and Burberry and Valentino and Louis Vuitton and all these other stores that I really don't care for. But let me read the article, and it starts by saying, usually at this time of year, San Francisco's luxury stores are decked with holiday garlands. Instead, they're boarded up after widespread flash mob looting turned Union Square, the city's most fashionable shopping district, into an area resembling a blighted neighborhood in Detroit. And again, we can go to Detroit as another sign of human civilization on the decline and another successful, capitalist thing, I believe. I mean, you know, it was, again, Detroit was a booming city back in the 60s. I mean, it was like one of the had one of the highest middle class populations, and then of course it just went into decline and now is decrepit. It looks like it basically looks like a third world. It's really sad. Okay, and I believe that they're trying to revive it, but they're having a real hard time doing it. Okay, 2 weeks ago, San Francisco was the first of several progressive cities. I like the way they use that word. Hit by smash and grab mobs of thieves, sometimes as many as 80 in a group. Video from San Francisco looting of Louis Vuitton shows criminals walking casually out of the store, goods in hands. Other cities hit include Los Angeles, Chicago, and Minneapolis. My bad for that. But again, you can look these up. You can see videos and footage of people breaking into stores and just stealing whatever they can. Now, again, I don't agree with people stealing Louis Vuitton bags. I mean, what's the point of that? But I can see why they're doing it. And again, I don't agree with, you know, the fact that they've got to steal that stuff in order to make money off of it. You know, now, look, something happened in Italy a couple of years back during this pandemic. You know, the citizens of Italy were under some strict guidelines, some strict COVID measures. They were locked. They were basically prisoners in their own homes. And they were only allowed to go to, you know, places like the grocery store to do shopping. And they were relying on government checks. And those government checks stopped coming. Well, listen, when you have no food, things start to get, really hairy. And it got so bad in Italy that the citizens there, law-abiding citizens for the most part, weren't getting government checks because they were told to stay home, and they just basically robbed the store. And they told the cashiers, look, we have no money right now, and we're hungry, and we have no choice. We're waiting for our government checks, and they haven't come. So we can buy now. We could steal now and pay you later. And basically the government basically told the managers to stand down and let it happen, because again, this is, you need food. If you don't have food or water, you don't survive. It's as simple as that. So going back to the smash and grab of Louis Vuitton bags, you know, I don't agree with that. And it's not to say that that's, you know, the majority of the stealing is that, but this is what mainstream news always focuses on, right? They try to make these guys look like thieves. And maybe the majority of them aren't stealing Louis Vuitton bags. Maybe they are stealing food because they got to feed their families. And I totally agree with that. But let me read on here. There may be several factors behind the looting. And here's some interesting information. Part of the problem is lack of police. San Francisco and other cities are short of cops, making robberies easier to get away with. San Francisco is short 400 officers, Los Angeles 300, with Minneapolis down by 200. So, of course, you know, with less cops on the street, you know, more robberies are easier to do. Let me continue on here. Total police officers in the United States decline, and again, they're continuing to talk about the decline of police officers. Total police officers in the United States declined by 20,000 between 2008 and 2018 due to a tighter labor market, rising technological complexity within the profession, and the high psychological toll of policing. Anti-police protests follow the death of George Floyd in May 2020 have led to further attrition. So, I mean, what happened to George Floyd is another conversation itself, but that was totally horrendous, and it should never have happened. And again, this is since 2001, this is how the cops have been acting, with total impunity, you know, that total lack of regard of the law. And again, we could talk about that in another podcast, but anyways, let me continue on. Progressive prosecutors are also letting more criminals free, sending the message that theft is an understandable response to poverty. Hear, I totally agree. In early 2020, San Francisco's progressive district attorney, Chesa Boudin, told the co-founder of Black Lives Matter before an audience at the Commonwealth Club that wealth inequality caused crime, and declared he would reduce prosecution of theft. In quotations, we have some of the richest people in the history of the world in the city, fortunes never imaginable 10 or 20 or even 50 years ago. when we have those extremes in close proximity, there's going to be some level of poverty crime. That's a reality. So what I'm getting from that sentence there is that we can't afford billionaires anymore. We just cannot, because the billionaires keep all the wealth, they exploit the workers, and they cause this poverty because of their greedness, their greediness. And again, we cannot afford them. All right, let me continue on here. And now I believe, yes, this is the quote I wanted to read you guys, and this is phenomenal. And it goes like this. Such is the logic of socialism. The real crime, according to Karl Marx and others for the last 150 years, is private property and capitalism. And in quotations, they put property as theft, is one of the socialist movement's most important slogans. Thus, the argument goes, any real-world crime, from robbing Louis Vuitton to assaulting a rich person, should be viewed as a revolutionary act. Anything that takes wealth from the rich and distributes it more equally, including pain, can be considered for the greater good. So, I mean, these multi-billionaires and millionaires, I mean, they don't know what pain is. And, you know, the poverty-stricken all over the world, and in this case in San Francisco, they're feeling that pain every single day. You can look at thousands of studies of what poverty does to a body. You know, the stress that it induces, the short lifespan, the bad eating habits, the bad thinking, because they're always under pressure and they don't know what to do. It's a terrible life to live. Nobody wants to live it. And again, going back to how we can't afford the billionaires. And this is the reason why we can't afford them anymore. Okay. Am I saying that we should do what they did to the czars? No, I'm not saying that. But when push comes to shove, people will react, and they're going to react in a way that you may not like, and I would fully support. Now, there was a stat about, and I believe it's in the New York Post. Anyways, they're saying the majority of people that got affected by this were the African Americans with the home. There's about 30% of the homeless were African Americans, and again, these people have been punished constantly. And if you go to every ghetto, not to say that they're all, you know, African Americans, there are whites too in the ghettos. No, there's no denying that. It's evident. But the African Americans have been punished, you know, quite a bit, and they've been marginalized. And I think we're starting to see that change. Okay, look, these people are brothers and sisters. They are human. Okay, they are human beings. They are very intelligent. They have a lot to offer to society, but we basically have shut them out. And of course, this needs to change so we can avoid this homelessness crisis that's happening in the state of California and in the city of San Francisco and everywhere around the world for that matter. So folks, I want to end the podcast by saying thank you for supporting us. If you can, please share this video as far and as wide. Again, I also want to announced that we've added another co-host to our platform, to our channel, Robert Walton, Yellow Vester, political activist and freedom fighter. He's already got two podcasts up, and they are phenomenal. And by the way, the name of his podcast is Liberty Needs No Rulers, Yellow Vest Radio. Please check out Robert, he's an actual activist. He was in CHOP during the Seattle thing. He was in France during the Yellow Vest Revolution. He's been a lot of places, and he's a very nomadic type guy. And is some of his all of his perspectives, as far as I'm concerned, are really interesting. You can learn a lot from Robert. So take a listen when you get a chance. Anyways, guys, thank you once again for listening to The Storm Is Here. Until next time, peace. And